You hear me?
Yeah.
I wear a coat of many patches everywhere I go. People respect and admire this jacket. I was Army, so I'm privileged to wear most of these patches represent Army outfits. And they represent thousands of young men. And it's a fact. Many of them went over that didn't come back. We live in the greatest nation on earth. But it's because of men like these. My friend Rod and I just got back from Applebee's. Got a free meal. Free is good. Pastor gave me an opportunity to share with you tonight. I have a couple poems, military poems. First one's called The Old Soldier. They found the old soldier one Sunday morning, stretched out in his cardboard box. Just his old army coat for a cover. Empty wine bottle in one hand and a King James Bible in the other. He never talked about what he had done before. Somebody said he'd been wounded badly in the war. But the old soldier's gospel was very simple. For he often said, it's only about one beggar telling another beggar where he had found bread. They all gathered round when the city van come to hold all the old soldier away. Nobody was heard to pray. Just a lot of sad people with awful tear-soaked faces. They'd forgotten one thing. The old soldier had a very good friend in very high places. This one's about a guy called Holy Joe. I was stationed in Japan in the 3rd Marines, and this guy came to our outfit from the 1st Marines in Korea. We could tell he was a real weird duck, because when he opened his sea bag, we were in for a shocker. He took a big black King James Bible and put it on the top of his footlocker. It wasn't very long, you know, we all started calling him Holy Joe. Sometimes at night, some of us would go out and get drunk, visit the girls in town, and come back, and there would be Holy Joe praying beside of his bunk. One day a Marine took a dirty book, stuck it in his face, tempted him to take a look. Holy Joe got tears in his eyes. He says, I can't do that, fellas, you see. These eyes don't belong to me. For me to look at that book would be a terrible sin. And the last thing I ever do is want to hurt my best friend. Well, I got sent back to the States and got married and had a family. But every now and then, I think about Holy Joe and this one that he called his best friend. And when I was 40 years old, in a little Baptist church up on Redmond Road, down on my knees, was the night that I met Holy Joe's best friend. My life was changed, never been the same again. All because of Joel's best friend. Just a short one, a little levity. Everybody seen Forrest Gump? This is the gospel according to Gump. My name is Forrest Gump. I'm stupid, you see. But I do know the difference between a he and a she. For in when the world began, Adam had his plumbing on the outside, and Eve had her plumbing within. I may be stupid, but you see, I really know the difference between a he and a she. Because you see, when Adam would stand up and Eve would squat when they pee.
Thanks, Earl. Get everybody crying, everybody laughing all at the same time. You guys like Earl's poems? They're really good, aren't they? Thanks, Earl. How about Keith? His maiden voyage on. Come on, man, huh? Good job, Keith. You know, the whole thing about Come On Man was to get people out of their comfort zone and to actually get up here on stage. And it's not easy as it looks, at least not for me anyway. So I think it's cool because we have several guys that have stepped out of their comfort zone and keep wanting to do it each week, because you could easily just bail on it, right? It's like, no, I just can't do it or whatever. But I think it's great. I think it's great training for everybody to do it. So, and even the, hey girl, you ladies are getting out of your comfort zone and getting up here and doing it because it's not easy. So everybody's learning to do a little bit of public speaking, and it glorifies God too, because everything that we say or do is giving thanks to Jesus, right? Yeah. Everything we've heard so far, everybody said thanks. Thanks for Jesus. Thanks for tonight. Thanks for the crowd. Thanks for everything. Before I start, will you guys pray for me real quick? Then I'll pray for you and then we'll get started. Okay, Father God, we just thank you again for all that you're doing here and all around the world, God. I mean, we know you're in control of things that are going on, God, and there's some mighty things happening, and we're glad to be part of it, Jesus. So we're just praying for a good night tonight. I pray you speak through me, Jesus, and it's good to see some old friends. So we just thank you in advance, Jesus. Amen. So tonight, since we're having our Thanksgiving dinner next week, I just figured that I would do giving thanks tonight. Right? So a lot of people, secular world, they give thanks on Thanksgiving, one time a year, right? They're either Christmas, Easter, or Thanksgiving. And a lot of times those prayers only last about as long as the meal does, right? So, but as Christians, we're thankful all the time, right? Because we know what God's done in our life. We've seen it, and we've seen it in other lives. So we're constantly giving thanks. So I figured I would just do giving thanks. So, before I get into the message, today I was thinking of giving thanks. I'm driving down the road, and I pass by O'Fallon Baptist Church. There's a veteran sitting in a lawn chair by himself with his hat on, kind of looked like Earl, little older guy with a hat on, and he had a sign that said, "Ask me about Jesus." Wow. Neon sign. Well, here's the kicker. So I'm driving down the road, and I'm doing some errands, and God puts on my spirit, go say thanks to that guy. For one, he's a veteran. And two, for his boldness. So I go up there and I said, hey, man, you're not going to believe this, but the Spirit told me to come and first thank you for your service. And thank you for the boldness of sitting out here on the main road right here with a sign that says, ask me about Jesus. And he's like, hey, man, guess what? You're the only person that's came by. And I said, hey, maybe it's just for this. Maybe it was just today. It was just for me and you to talk for a few minutes. So check this out. We get to talking, and he says, where are you from? I said, Misfits for Jesus. And he goes, oh, I've heard of you guys. I go, how do you know? Well, we know some people who go to that church. And he goes, well, you guys hosted that Richard Koss a few times, right? I said, yeah. And he goes, well, I went to jail ministry with him every time he comes in town. And I was like, well, then you get to come out here next time when he's in town to do the jail ministry. So it was really cool. We got to catch up a little bit. And he was asking about Richard. And I thought it was really cool how God just brought a full cycle that we already know common people besides Jesus. So it was just like, I was just like, now I'm driving away. I'm going, thanks, God. That was really cool. That was really cool. So in giving thanks, Alpha, you already mentioned it a little bit about giving thanks in all situations, right? So who's excited about Thanksgiving? Everybody likes Thanksgiving, right? It gets chaotic. Family's in town. It's a whole lot of fun. Or you're going to their house. It's a whole lot of fun. It can get really chaotic, right? But we give thanks. We slow down and we give thanks. But as I'm getting older, I'm starting to appreciate my family more now. crazy as it is sometimes, it's a lot of fun, because I'm understanding God's put these people in our lives, right? And I appreciate them a lot more than I once did, say 10 years ago or whatever. But so my first question is, are you thankful no matter what happens? Are you thankful in the good and the bad? Sometimes you have to wonder when the bad comes, right? It's easy to be thanking God all the time when everything lines up for you and everything's working out and life is just grand. But how are you when it's not? It says to be thankful in all circumstances, not for the circumstances, right? It's in them when they happen, because a lot of times they're teachable moments. A lot of times it brings you closer to God. You know, and we don't pray for things to happen to us so we get closer to God, but sometimes that's what it takes to get our attention. And when we do, we will grow closer to God. Excuse me. So are you thankful no matter what? So there was this guy, and you've probably heard of him. The Bible's full of stories of guys that are thankful throughout the whole time and they're praising God. And one of the first ones, he was a little guy. He was arrested, he was beaten, he was thrown in jail. He was abused, he was chained to a Roman soldier. But during the whole time he was there in a dark dungeon, gross place to be imprisoned for long periods of time, was the Apostle Paul. And look what he did. While he was in jail, he's giving thanks to God. When he could have easily been the biggest complainer in the world. Why me? Why does this keep happening to me? Why am I beaten up? Why am I shipwrecked? Why am I snake bitten? Why, God, I'm trying to do things for you and expand the kingdom for you, and all I get is this? He could have complained about everything. He could have been the biggest complainer in there. So in the midst of all of his adversity, he's praising God. Which, for us, we should be doing the same thing. And it's easy to get the woe is me, because we all do it, right? But the thing, if we do it now, snap out of it a little quicker, going, hey, God's using this for a reason. Let's try to figure out what it is, what he has for us, and try to make our way through it. Illnesses, things like that, those are very tough, obviously. Sometimes the afflictions help you find God if you don't know God. And there's a guy here that's part of his testimony. The affliction opened his eyes to God. Without the affliction, who knows, he might still be on the run, right? God is good in all circumstances. So let's go to Ephesians 5 real quick. 519 and 20, I think I have it up there. 19. Okay, so this is Paul again. He's singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Several times throughout the Bible, it's telling us to give thanks and have gratitude. I Googled it and it said there was like 157 times was gratitude. Thankfulness throughout the Bible was like 72 times. So obviously, that's quite a few times that we're supposed to be thanking God for what he's done, right? As a reminder, like, hey, we don't live this life for ourselves. And it's not all about us. How much more can we get? Stuff like that. So, try to meet just our needs, right? So we have to have a spirit of thankfulness in all circumstances. But the thing that we can't do is not allow a spirit of ingratitude to harden our hearts, right? That will dampen your relationship with God as well as your friends. Because if you have a hard heart, you're probably the complainer. Nothing's ever good enough for you because you're not thankful for what you have. It goes on and on. It's like, I can give you a gold brick and you'd be mad because it wasn't platinum. Right? There's people like that. Let's say you get a birthday card with a $50 bill in it and you say, well, they could have given me two 20s and a 10. Come on, man. Be thankful for the 50, right? I mean, come on. But there are constant complainers about everything. You can never make them happy. It goes on and on and on. They need to check their heart, man. They have a spirit of ingratitude. Nothing turns us even bitter or selfish than being ungrateful, an ungrateful heart. You know, God's provisions go on and on and on and on. And we see it all the time. We see things multiply. I mean, just look at the food that's been coming in the last few days just for that. Just that one little thing. He's multiplying it. And the food pantries is growing. I mean, it's amazing to see God working. And it's even amazing to see people open your heart and do it. For when you step out and go, you know what? I'm going to donate to that, or I'm going to do this. I'm going to donate my time. I'm going to volunteer this. I'm going to help in any way I can to further God's kingdom. That's a good thing, right? Because we're thankful for what God's done for us. So an ungrateful heart will turn you bitter, selfish, dissatisfied. But the good thing is, nothing will restore contentment and the joy of our salvation than a true spirit of thankfulness. Think about that. So as I'm reading in the scriptures here, there's several stories, so I just picked a couple. Let's go to Luke 17. Luke 17, 11 through 17. I think it's on the page here, 11. This is the 10 healed of leprosy. Now, in the ancient world, leprosy was a horrible, horrible disease, okay? This was really bad. It was untreatable at the time. Modern medicine has made it where it's at least treatable. There are still lepers in the world, but at least it's treatable. But at the time, this disease was so bad that they would separate them in little colonies away from each other because they were technically unclean people. If you had this, your nerve endings would just, your skin would just decay and limbs would fall off and the skin would just decay. And just, can you imagine seeing somebody like that? I mean, you know, it's like they're separated from their families. They're separated from their friends because they're lepers. They didn't ask for it, but they got it. So it starts in 11 here. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. He entered a village there, and 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance. Okay, so they were in these little groups because they had to be separated from people. And if they encountered people, Like if I'm walking and if I had leprosy and you guys were coming by, I would have to yell, unclean, unclean, just so you knew to go around, keep your distance, right? Because it was very contagious at the time. So you had to yell, unclean. Not only are you separated, but now you got to tell everybody, stay away from me. I'm no good, right? Stay away. So he sees these 10 men and they're crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he looked at him and he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. Now remember, these guys are standing around. They are the total outcast of society. I would imagine spiritually and emotionally, they were probably pretty low. They probably had no joy in their life whatsoever. Could you imagine? And then Jesus comes by, right? And he's saying, go. So as you read this, it just says, and they went. Okay, there's 10 guys and they're all standing around. Unclean guys, and all of a sudden Jesus just says, go. So they take off. They don't even know where they're going. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Okay, so they take off. That's the healing power of God. He could speak healing. That's awesome. He could just speak it and you're healed. Unbeknownst to them, he looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. So they're just trucking along. You know, they're all messed up, all ate up, probably can't hardly walk. And all of a sudden, they're completely healed. I would be like, woo, praise God, that's over. Right? But they had to go to the priest, too, because they had to go there, because he was kind of almost like, health inspector, yeah. He's the one that kind of gave you the, okay, now you're clean, you can come back, be admitted to society again. Not only was it spiritual, but it was also physical, too, where he'd check you out to make sure that you're not contagious and things like that, so he'd say, okay, you can go back. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus, turned around and came back. He said, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. Check this out. This man was a Samaritan amongst the Jews. And they hated each other, right? Jews could not stand the Samaritan, but it was the Samaritan that came back. Which, you know, this little parable kind of goes with God's mercy too, because it's available to everybody. That's what Luke is writing about. He's telling us, hey, it's available to everybody, not just the Jews. It's available to anybody. I thought it was kind of funny. Randy and I were talking about this the other day. And then Jesus asked him, he says, hey, didn't I heal 10 of them? Wait, there was 10 of them here. Y'all left and only one came back to say thanks. Where's the other 9? Where's the other 9, he says? Has no one returned to give glory to God except the foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go because your faith has healed you. How about that? You know, there's healing in the going. And it's just like when he told him to pick up the mat and go. We have our part to do too. Because Jesus may be putting something on your heart and he's telling you to go, you need to go. Go do it. Whatever it may be, just go. There's healing in the going, right? I just thought it was ironic that it was a Samaritan. So it doesn't really say what happened to the other 9, although I believe that you could still receive the healing, and maybe over time you will have the gratitude to thank God for it. Might take a while, you know, because I, especially when you're a new Christian, there's so much going on in your head of the old life and the new life, and you're trying to balance things out, and you're trying to be better, and the old man keeps coming, and you're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It takes a little while to get on the right path and stay there. So I could see where it may be working out in time. But then again, maybe they didn't. Maybe they just went off and they were one of the ones that were healed, and maybe they turned into one of the chronic complainers afterwards. Who knows? It doesn't really say. But I know if you have, we need to guard ourselves against being ungrateful, because sometimes we take advantage of the situation and we kind of forget sometimes because we're busy, we're running around and everything like that. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves to say thanks. Yeah. Say thank you. It comes easier when you do it more often. Thank you, God. Thank you for the simple things in life, as well as the big things. Because not all the time is going to be big things. There's going to be a bunch of little ones. And then you can look back and go, oh, wow. Oh, wow, I understand it now. I read a story. I'm going to see if I can recall this. You guys heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Okay, this is just a small story of some of the tiny things that God does, because he's in the details too, right? Okay, she and her sister and I think her dad were in a concentration camp, in the Nazi concentration camp. And her sister, Betsy, kept saying, Corrie, you need to be thankful for the fleas. Because the camp was disgusting. It had fleas and lice and all this stuff in there. And she kept saying, you need to be thankful. You need to be thanking God for the fleas. Her sister was obviously thanking God for everything. And Corey's like, I don't know, man. I don't want to be here. I hate this whole thing. I don't like any of it. Obviously, it's a bad situation. I'm not thankful at all. But she's going, you have to be thankful in all situations. So check this out. Over time, somehow they managed to smuggle in a Bible inside this concentration camp. And obviously, if they got caught with it, they'd be killed for it. So they're in the woman's dorm, and they're having these little Bible studies, and they're being hush-hush about it. And they keep having these, and there's more little women, and they're hush-hushing about it because they don't want to get caught. One having a Bible study, and two having a Bible, right? But all these fleas are there, right? And Betsy's going, we got to thank God for the fleas. So, and they kept looking out the windows, waiting for the guards to come by. And then one day, Betsy heard the guard say, I'm not going in that place because of all the fleas. So God made it where they could have their Bible studies without being harassed by the guards. I thought that was amazing. It was like, even the small things, God is in the details, man. So thank God for the small things as well as the big things. Okay. So I just chose a couple things to be thankful for. And one of them is thank God for our material blessings, right? Obviously. Thank God for all that we have, all that he's providing here, as well as our houses, our cars, our jobs, our family, everything that he provides, we need to thank him for it. Back to Paul. Paul declared he had learned the secret of being thankful when he has a lot and when he has little, which is a great example for us how we should be. We should be thanking him when things are good and thanking him when things are bad. Whether it's rich times or poor times, we need to be thanking God. And it's really the spirit of thankfulness that changes everything, kind of changes the whole perspective, right? So we're thanking God for our material things. Second one was thank God for the people in your life. How about that? Even though they get on our nerves and they're not what we want them to be and we're not what they want us to be, we need to thank God for that. Right? Come on, man. It's so easy to complain about people in our life, right? We need to be thanking them because they're there for a reason. God has chosen, for whatever reason, these people to be in your lives. Yeah, that's all we can do, right? And I tell you what, when you do that, it kind of erases all the things you're thinking. It gives you a little more positive attitude towards the people or your family or your spouse. How about that? Because remember when you got married, how much you were in love with your spouse that day. Right? Over time. all we can remember is all the faults, right? We're like, oh man, she's not this, she's not that, la la la. But we're thanking God for that because she's saying the same thing about us, right? So we give thanks for our spouses. We give thanks for our children. Yeah. And they can be a handful too, right? Right. But we thank God for them because they are a blessing. They are a blessing, right? Even though we go through these trials through our whole life with our children, they are a blessing and we need to be thankful. Relatives? Come on, man, right? God's goal, we need to be thankful for them too, right? I know, right? You're talking spouse, you're talking children, now you're talking relatives? Come on, that's a heavy load, isn't it? You know, last weekend, it was really cool because, you know, I talk about the Kentucky people. And, well, this time they came up here. So we had a great time. One of the cousin's kid was playing on the football team that played Lindenwood. So we went to the game, we had all kinds of fun, but it gave me more of appreciation for the relatives. And it was really cool because their mom had passed away, like I was telling you, over the summer when we went down there. And this was one of the first outings since then as a group where all the brothers and sisters got together and we came up to watch the grandson play football. So it was really cool. And I remember one of the cousins said out loud, I remember her mom died, so she's going through the grieving. And she's like, you know what? After this weekend, I'm going to get going again. I needed this. I needed to be around the family and have fun and just be for a while and not be just thinking about my circumstances and things like that to get out. So being around your relatives and having a good time, it's getting her to get going again. And I thought that was really cool. That was good to hear that. I was like, hey, I'm glad we could help you out. Missouri's not all bad, right? So we had a good time. So the last one I had here was friends. Be thankful for your friends. Amen? It's difficult. Relationships are difficult, right? Of all kinds. Friendship, your spouses, relationships are hard. Co-workers, right? Co-workers, that's a tough one there, man. I got to tell you. The guy I work with. I'm like, God, give me strength to deal with this guy. No, I'm just kidding. We have a lot of fun on the job. We have to definitely have a lot of fun. It's what keeps us going. You know the cool thing? God has blessed us in a way that we can work and talk about God all day long. We get to talk with customers or we get to just talk amongst ourselves and we get to work things out. You know, church stuff or other friends or whatever the case may be, we get a chance to work it out. Not a lot of people have somebody they can talk to all the time, but we do. We've been blessed with that. So we can bounce stuff off of each other. You know, we know a lot of people that are just one person and they're carrying the load themselves. That's hard to do. It's really hard to carry the whole thing by yourself. You need to reach out, you know? God did not intend you to carry everything by yourself. Bring it to the cross first. Just unload some stuff. You know, the past is the past. Let it go. You know, maybe there's some old relationships you need to let go that are just dragging along and they're nothing other than a pain. Maybe it's time to purge a few or whatever you have to do. But give it to God and he'll help you through it. But in saying that too, we need to let people know that we appreciate them, right? It goes unsaid a lot of times and it gets overlooked because we are busy. We take advantage of each other and we don't try to, but it just works that way sometimes. Not intentional, but we need to make sure that we're telling each other we appreciate each other. It's a simple thing. Hey man, thank you, appreciate you. Because we really do. And I can tell you in here, we appreciate all you guys that are helping us do everything that goes on here. Everything that goes on here. Because obviously Randy and I cannot do this whole thing ourselves. We couldn't do the worship. We couldn't do the tech. We couldn't do all this stuff without help. And we appreciate you guys. So let it be known. So let it be known. We appreciate you. So the third thing is trials. Trials in our life. You know, no one is exempt from adversity. Life may be good for years for you, but there's coming a time it's not going to be, and that's just life, right? We talk about our customers a lot, but we do have people that have everything they need except God. They have plenty of money, so when life comes, they just buy their way out. They just, and they're done. And they're like, well, escape that one. We go on to the next thing. And it's like, it's very sad because they don't know Jesus. And it's just like, I hope before you die, you have a chance to repent. You know, so we're praying for those people too. But in trials in our lives, James says, call it pure joy, right? And sometimes you're going through these trials and you go, how can this be pure joy, God? This is not joyful. But like I said earlier, it could be a learning experience. It could teach you how to deal with things. It gives you perseverance when the next one comes. The thing is, we're in training all the time. This is boot camp, man, for when stuff comes. We come here to get these messages and we hang out. We have lots of fun at group and stuff like that. That's the training for when it hits the fan. When it hits the fan, don't run off. We see a lot of people get upset and take off. It was like, well, didn't you learn anything? You've been here for 5 years. You've sat through more sermons. You could save several nations on your own. That's a Purdyism, by the way. But when it's your turn, how are you going to act? How are you going to handle it? Because we're all going to go through something sooner or later. If you're not in a storm, there's one coming. Be prepared, right? We're always saying that. Be prepared. Be prepared. Is it easy? No. But we know God's got our back. He promises he's with us all the time. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, right? So we can trust him when it comes. We can thank him and trust him at the same time. Like the old saying, we do two things, trust him and thank him. Because God is good. That's right. Okay, we'll see here. Now the ultimate is to thank God for our salvation, right? When was the last time you thanked God for your salvation? I hope it was this morning, right? Or this afternoon, or this evening, or whenever you're doing your prayer time, thank God for your salvation. Thank him. Thank him for what he rescued you from. Don't forget. You know, just like the leprosy is kind of a picture of the sin in our life, right? So, as leprosy does to your body, sin does to your soul, right? It decays. It just chips away at it and chips away at it and chips away at it. So if we have our salvation, we need to grow in it, right? We just did this series on growing your faith. It's important to grow. And we give God the glory for it. We were once separate from God. We had the leprosy. God rescued us. God has come down to rescue everybody. That's what he wants. He wants all of us to live together in eternity. All to repent. It doesn't mean everybody's going to, but that's the point. He wants all to come. It's our choice whether we come or not. So we thank God for our salvation. It's the most indescribable gift you could ever have. I mean, how can you put it in words, really? It'd take you forever to describe it, right? He's so good to us, even though we don't deserve it. And he continues. That's the coolest part. Salvation is great. And the final thing I have here is we thank God for his presence in our life all the time. Because he just keeps going. It's not a one and done thing. He just keeps going. He keeps giving. He just keeps going. And it's available as much as you want. If you want a little God, just get a little God. You want a lot of it, then get into it. Get into the Word. Figure out who He is and start following Him. Start acting and change things. Volunteer. Do all kinds of things. It's available to everybody. It's really on you how much you want. Because God is good and He's always there. And He's always going to be there. That's the best part. He's always there. Through all of our trials, through everything that we go through, God is there. And just like you were talking about, Alpha, that story about what could have happened. You know, He does that stuff all the time. And we don't see it in our own lives half the time. You know, if you could just slow down for a second and see, like, how He's working. You know, some people, I was talking about the gentleman today at the church, and they just don't recognize it. We're in the world. They're in the world. We're not of this world. We've been separated now. We still live here. We're just passing through, right? So I was talking to him, and we were just like, you know, obviously, there's something going on. We're starting to see the scriptures getting closer and closer and closer and closer. Things are happening. Now's not a good time to be out and about, that's for sure, away from God. Let me say this. If you've been away, just come back. It's easier than you think. Just repent and get right back on the trail and start following. Don't let the head games slow you down, because they will. Remember, we have an adversary that's going to fill your head with garbage. It's not true. He's a liar. God loves you and He wants you back. It's easier than you think. So I was talking about the presence. He gives us everything that we need. So why wouldn't we thank Him, right? So when we give thanks, make it heartfelt. It's also not just a thank you. It's also a lifestyle. We start working at it. We're grateful. We're thankful for every little thing that He does for us, because He's ordained everything. And we're just walking this journey. We just have to be thankful. It's an everyday thing for us, right? I read this thing about Matthew Henry said, thanksgiving is good, but thanks living is better. Yeah. Think about that. Well, that was a good one. It's like, I liked Matthew Henry. Yeah. So I didn't have this scripture, but in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 it says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I don't think God goes looking for thank yous, but I think when we do thank Him, I think it puts a smile on His face. You know, appreciative. You know, we definitely appreciate what He's done for us. Amen. I don't know where we would be. We'd all be in, yeah, dead, locked up, whatever. Whatever, we would be really, really lost. But we have hope that the world doesn't have, right? We have Jesus in our hearts. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. So when we come through these trying times, we lean on Jesus. That's what's going to get you through it. Lean on your Savior. Amen? So who likes Thanksgiving? I hope you all do, right? Everybody should, right? It's not just the food, although the food's a bonus. So think about that. When you're with your family and your friends on Thanksgiving and they annoy you or whatever it is, give thanks to God for the people that He's put in your life. Amen? That's about all I have for this evening, guys. Thanks for listening. What's that? Oh, how many people are coming to breakfast tomorrow? How many is that? 2, 4, 6, 8. Probably 10 or so. But there's always more show up, I would imagine. So next weekend, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving dinner here. We're going to have it set the tables up. We'll do the same thing that we usually do. We'll just pass the microphone.